Amen. I love to hear you guys sing out. That sounds good, you know? We might can go on the road here before long. It sounds so good, you're singing. Thank you. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 20 through 27. Tonight we're going to talk about protecting the heart. Protecting the heart. Guard your heart. So let's stand together. And this will be the last time, I promise, until the invitation. Let's read together the text. Solomon again is pleading with his son. And he says, "My child, listen. Pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk and stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil." Let's pray together. Lord, I pray tonight once again for your help, for your power, your spirit. Father, that you would help me to preach the word, that Father, you'd help all of us to hear the word the way that it should be heard, to pay attention, to let it, as Solomon said to his son, penetrate deep into our hearts, that it would bear fruit and the Spirit could use it to transform us, Father. Father, our hearts are so fragile and so susceptible, and we ask God tonight that you would just help us to recommit to guarding our hearts, protecting what we put there. Help us to be wise in that. And we pray in Jesus' name tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Have a seat. Well, the Bible, of course, talks about heart. It's not talking about the physical organ inside your chest that pumps blood. It's talking about what the Bible considers to be the control center of your life. The mind, the will, the intellect, the emotion, all together. That, if you will, the mission control of your life. It talks a lot about the heart, and it talks a lot about taking care of the heart, guarding the heart. The Bible warns us to avoid having a double heart. It warns us against a hard heart. It warns us against a proud heart, an unbelieving heart, a cold heart, and an unclean heart. David prayed in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Solomon says here in Proverbs 4:23, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And so Solomon is talking to his son Rehoboam and his other children possibly about the very important task we have of guarding our heart, making sure that we take care of it. We talk a lot in doctor's offices and stuff about making sure your heart's taken care of, your blood pressure and all that stuff. I would submit to you tonight that it's much more important that you take care of your spiritual heart than it is your physical heart. Because if you don't take care of your spiritual heart, it don't matter how physically fit you are, you're going to be in serious trouble. So let's look at it together. We'll just walk through the text tonight and the outline. First of all, notice in verses 20 through 21, the father's repeated plea. This is another time the father repeats his plea to his son to pay attention, to listen. Once again, I've said it before and I'll probably continue to say it. We live in an age of distraction. We live in an age of the myth of multitasking. Folks, there's no such thing as multitasking. No matter how much people claim there is, the mind can only focus on one thing. What happens is we have multi-switching. We go back from one thing to this thing and back and forth like that. We can't do more than one. Our minds can't do more than one thing at a time. It's scientific proof, but we think we can and stuff. And we have all this distraction and all these voices now that are clamoring for our attention. And if we're not careful, we can get off track. And so look at what notice the three things Solomon tells his son to do. First of all, he says, listen to wise people. He says, son, listen to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Now, he pleads with his son to pay attention to what he's saying. God had blessed Solomon with wisdom. People came from all over the world to hear Solomon's wisdom. The Queen of Sheba traveled miles to hear Solomon's wisdom. And yet here was his son that lived in the same castle with him in danger of missing the opportunity of a lifetime. Son, listen. Listen to me. Listen to my words. God had blessed Solomon with wisdom. And we need to be discerning about who we pay attention to. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 19 says this, "Listen closely, pay attention to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge, for it is pleasing if you keep them within you, and if they are constantly on your lips. I have instructed you today, even you, so that your confidence may be in the Lord." He says, pay attention to the words of the wise. We need to be very, very discerning about who we listen to. Whether it's on the radio, whether it's on the television, whether it's on the stuff. That's why I've quit listening to talk radio, because I can't hear wisdom there. It just makes me mad. It makes me upset. It gets me all wound up and stuff. I've quit doing that. I'd rather read God's word than I had spend time listening to whoever it is, whether they're conservative or liberal, whatever, because I don't think it helps me. It doesn't help me. Now that may help you and that's fine, but it doesn't help me. So we need to be discerning about who we listen to. Secondly, he says, don't lose what you learn. He says, son, don't lose sight of these words. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. We all face the danger of letting wisdom slip through our fingers if we don't let it go to our heart. We must go beyond listening to it. It must go beyond just hearing it. It must penetrate to our heart. That's one of the reasons that I use sermon notes, and I've used them for years now, because I know that the more senses we engage, the more we remember. If we just listen to it, it's gone in 72 hours. Most of it's gone. So if we take notes and we are diligent about letting that go. As a matter of fact, this idea of letting wisdom go to our hearts is a theme in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom must go to our, must be written on our heart. In Proverbs 2:10 and 3:1, wisdom must enter our hearts to keep us from evil. It must be a part of us. It can't just be up here. It has to be in our heart. It must be written on the tablets of our heart. Proverbs 3:3 and Proverbs 7:3. It must be written on the tablets of our heart. And that speaks of diligence. That speaks of intentionality. That speaks of memory and review. That speaks of passion. It's something that we take to heart. It's something that's meaningful to us. It's something that we're very diligent about. We don't just listen to it and say, oh, that was a good word, thank you, and go. We ponder it. We think about it deeply. We imprint it upon our heart. And if you've ever done that, if you've ever tried to take things to heart, it takes a lot of intentionality, and it takes a lot of passion. It's always interesting that whatever we're passionate about, we can remember. Isn't that true? We can remember that. Some people can remember baseball stats like crazy, and yet they can't remember the Word of God. You know, well, it's because they're more passionate about baseball. Folks, when we get passionate about the Word of God, when we get passionate about wisdom, it's going to go into our heart. And so Solomon warns his son, son, don't lose sight of the words. Don't let it slip. Let it penetrate deep into your heart. We stand in danger of losing what we learn if we're not careful. And then finally, he says to his son, recognize the benefits of wisdom. Recognize the benefits of wisdom. Once again, this is not the first time he's done that. He's done it before. He says, son, there are benefits to wisdom. And here he brings them out there too, life and health. He said, these words bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. This is a theme in Proverbs, and several of the commentators that I've read call it a return to Eden. When we're wise and when we listen to wisdom, it reverses the curse of death and destruction, and we begin to experience life that God has intended. Jesus talked about the abundant life. Proverbs talks about this way of wisdom, that it begins to reverse the curse. Instead of finding death, we find life, life everlasting, life eternal. We talk about that a lot. And also health, not just physical health, but health, wholeness, shalom. There's a soundness to us. There's our bodies are and our minds and our emotions are all in harmony together. We're not all over the place, because wisdom helps us find this health and this life that Solomon promises. There's benefits to it. And you know, the reason Solomon is so concerned, because he knows there are all kinds of voices competing for the ear of his son Rehoboam. All kinds of people wanting to tell Rehoboam what to do. All kinds of sources out there. There's God, there's Solomon, there's counselors, there's Rehoboam's peers. And if you know anything about Rehoboam, you know that eventually, instead of listening to God, he listened to his peers, and that got him in all trouble. Matter of fact, it caused the nation to go into civil war. There was the forbidden woman that Solomon keeps warning his son about. And there's all kinds of things. They all want his heart. And folks, today it's even worse. Today there are songs and movies and TV shows and books and social media and peers and neighbors and parents and co-workers all speaking into our life, trying to tell us what to do, trying to tell us how to think, trying to tell us what decisions would be wise. Everything from telling us what cars to buy, to what toothpaste to buy, to what life insurance to buy, to what to think politically and what to think morally and what to think religiously. And it goes on and on and on. That's why it's so important that we practice the sermon and the one about who we listen to, because those words, the Bible says, go into our ears and then into our heart. The Bible teaches that the eyes and the ears are gateways to our heart, and we have to be very, very careful about what we look at and what we listen to. And so the question tonight is, what are we listening to? And once again, there's nothing wrong with listening to Fox and CNN and all that stuff if you're spending at least that much time listening to the Word of God and in the Word of God. See, that's where I got convicted, because I was spending more time there than I was in the Word of God. And I don't want those people, I don't care how good they are, poured into my life more than what I'm receiving from God and His Spirit. And so we have to be careful. Are we listening to the words of God, or are we listening to the lies of the enemy and the voice of fools? And so Solomon pleads with his son, "Son, listen to wise people. Don't lose what you've learned and recognize the benefits of wisdom." Then in verse 23, one of the key verses in Proverbs, he says, "Son, guard your heart above all else." And the ESV says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The New Living Translation says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." The Message paraphrases it, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart." That's where life starts. So you get the impression it's a pretty important thing to do, isn't it? It's one of the key verses to understanding the book of Proverbs, and it's one of the key verses to understand the Christian life. The heart is the key and the source to everything we do. It is our mission control. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think originally flows from our heart. Whatever our heart loves, our eyes will see and our ears will hear. When our boys were little, it seemed like they could always find, as we traveled, where the toy store was. When they were little, we would travel and they could always find where the ice cream stores were, because that's what their hearts loved. And I have to confess, I can always find the bookstore, no matter what town we go in, because that's what I love. And I can always find those things. Our hearts tend to gravitate toward what we love. The problem is, the Bible says we have heart problems. We have broken hearts and sinful hearts that tend to want to lead us astray. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." If we walk in wisdom, not in our emotions, not in that. And then in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, he says, "The heart is more deceptive than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it?" Folks, the reason our behavior is bad is because our hearts are bad. Jesus taught that sin starts in the heart before it ever manifests itself in our actions. I heard someone say one time, sin is always a slow leak. It is never a blowout. It starts thinking about it, and then we focus on it. Matter of fact, Jesus in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23 says, "What comes out of a man, that defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man and a woman. That's why moral management never works. Behavior modification never works. That's why self-help doesn't work, because it only addresses the external behaviors. That's why most diets fail, because it only addresses the externals. We never address the heart, the motives. Only Jesus can address the motives. Only Jesus can change a heart. And that's why we need Jesus, because when He changes our heart, only He can transform our hearts from good, bad hearts into good hearts. The Bible promises in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 28, one of the promises is that God will give us new hearts and place a new spirit within us. And we have a new heart. And that's why we have to guard it, because it's very easy to go back to that old way, because we've known that way so long. And so we need Jesus to transform our hearts, and that's why we have to guard them. If all we do is change a behavior without addressing our hearts, that behavior, that sin, that attitude will pop up somewhere else, and it'll eventually pop up. That's why some people today call some of what goes on in our churches therapeutic moral management. You know, we want to tell people to change behavior. That's why, for example, we do marriage classes and all these kinds of things, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a class on marriage, having a class on this, that, and the other. As long as we understand that we need Jesus to do that for us and in our life. We can't do it ourselves. The gospel says we can't. If we could, then Jesus would have never died. If we could, then Jesus would have never given in His spirit. You know, you can have all the classes on marriage and all the classes on whatever and evangelism, all this kind of stuff, but unless Jesus gives you a new heart, it's going to go in one ear and right out the other. Always has, always will. And so Solomon says, guard your heart. Be careful what you allow in the heart. There's an old story about an Indian brave that went to the Indian chief and was frustrated because he was not doing what he wanted to do and doing things he didn't want to do. And the old chief said, well, that's because in every brave there's a black dog and a white dog. And the one that wins is the one that you feed the most. And that's true with us. You know, we have in us that old nature and that new nature. We call it, by New Testament, the old nature, new nature. Solomon talks about the heart and stuff, but it's the same thing. And the one that we feed the most, the one, if we're feeding our heart the garbage, then garbage is going to come out. If we're feeding our heart the things of God, then the wisdom of God is going to come out. And it all depends on what we're allowing into our hearts. That's why moms and dads, young people, that's why moms and dads are so obsessed about what you listen to and the music we listen to and the shows that we watch and all that kind of stuff. And today especially, you know, with smartphones, which are not really smart to begin with, but, you know, they allow us to listen to so much garbage out there and so much falsehood and stuff. And we have to be so discerning, you know. And that's part of the problem. You know, we have in our culture decided we can do it, but nobody has ever asked the question, should we do it? And if we do it, how do we manage it? And so the digital thing has just exploded. You know, the number one industry online is pornography. And it's billions and billions of dollars. I mean, it's all over the place. It's the largest industry out there. Because now what you would have had to go to a shady store or a magazine rack or something, now you can have in the quietness of your own home. Now every kind of false teaching and every kind of fool out there has a voice that people will listen to. And now what people that, for example, girls that used to be called tomboys, now they listen to this false teaching that, oh no, it's not you're a tomboy, it's that you're probably a guy in a girl's body and you need to change that. Well, that wasn't out there until a few years back when all that stuff, and where do you think people are learning that now? That they're allowing it into their minds. They're allowing it, you know, in the schools and all that kind of stuff. And so we have to be very, very careful about guarding our hearts. And so how do you do that? Well, Solomon then gives his son three things that we can look at. Because it's really important that we take time from time to time to examine ourselves. And to do, I don't know if you have done spiritual inventories. I know we've done at least one since I've been here. I've given out things, and we did it during the Life Action Crusade and stuff. And they gave us a great one to do, and you may have that in your Bible. If you do, I encourage you to do it. It's really important to do that, to kind of examine ourselves. Paul told us to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith, to examine our heart. And so Solomon gives his son three tests, three things to look at to see where our hearts are. And in verses 24 through 27, you know, the Bible also already teaches that our behavior reveals the state of our heart. So if you're a gossip, that reveals there's jealousy in your heart. And that reveals there's bitterness in your heart or pride in your heart. If you commit adultery, that reveals that in your heart, before the adultery ever happened, there was lust. And so there are three things. In verse 24, Solomon says, look at what's coming out of your mouth. He says, don't let your mouth speak dishonestly and don't let your lips talk deviously. The Message paraphrases it like this. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that whatever comes out of our mouth was first in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 says, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes around speaking dishonestly. The Romans, when they would listen to their great orators, they would often look at one another and wink and say, cum gratis salitas, which basically means take it with a grain of salt. Do you know people like that, that whatever they tell you or whatever they say, you kind of want to wink and say, well, just take that with a grain of salt, you know? Sometimes we have to take it with a pile of salt, you know? Well, as Christians, we're supposed to be putting salt into our speech because our words are supposed to be pure and honest. And as we go on into Proverbs, we'll find that Proverbs has a lot to say about the way we talk. It uses the word mouth over 50 times. It uses the word lips over 40 times. It warns us about perverse lips and lying lips and flattering lips and deceptive lips and undisciplined lips. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 says, the one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. There used to be a plaque somebody had, I saw it one time, that said, you know, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than open it and remove all doubt. We need to be careful. What's coming out of your mouth? What is that? And what does it say about the state of your heart? Profanity, gossip, slander, what's coming out of your mouth? That is an indicator of your heart and the condition of your heart. The second thing in verse 25 is where your eyes dwell. Look at what he says. Let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. The Message paraphrases it like this. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. I like that. Ignore this. Because how many of you know there are a lot of sideshows going on today? And you could really get focused on those things, you know, and what's going on. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a friend of God because he walked by faith. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Abraham was known as a friend of God. His nephew Lot, on the other hand, became a friend of the world, ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah because he walked by sight. And in Genesis chapter 13, verse 10, the New Living says, he took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar, which was in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He took a long look at the fertile valley. Abraham, on the other hand, was taking a long look for the city whose maker and builder was God. It makes a huge difference what you're looking at. It takes a huge vision, makes a huge difference about your vision. David said, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. The Message paraphrases that I refuse to take a second look at corrupting people and degrading things. He prays in Psalm 119, turn my eyes from looking at what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. The writer of Hebrews told his readers as they run the Christian race to keep their eyes locked on Jesus instead of looking around at the crowd and looking around or looking back at the competitors, but keep your eyes on Jesus. Once again, where do you set your eyes? Where is your focus? Where are you paying attention? That says something about the state of your heart. It's not the first look, because we can't help the first look. It's the second one that gets us. To look at a woman and say, wow, isn't she beautiful? That's one thing. But to look again and say, man, I wish she was mine, that's a whole nother thing. We needed, we used to teach our kids when I was in years ago to learn to avert their eyes, for things. And folks, it does matter. It does matter. And isn't it interesting that in this day and time, one of the attacks that we're under is through the eyes? I think I shared this with you last year when we went over to the Alabama game. I could not believe what the young ladies were wearing. I wanted to go up to them and say, I'm going to take a picture and send that home to your daddy. Does he know you're wearing that in public? I'm thinking, what in the world? Those guys don't have a prayer. It matters. We have to watch our eyes. And then finally, he says, not only do you need to listen to what's coming out of your mouth, and also where your eyes are focused, but thirdly, where your feet take you. Verses 26, 27, carefully consider the path for your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Keep your feet away from evil. Once again, the Message paraphrase says, watch your step and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right or left. Leave evil in the dust. Solomon says, son, carefully consider the path that you're on. Instead of just going the way that everybody else is going, because that's what everybody else is doing. Instead of going the way that feels good or the way that is convenient, we need to ponder it. That's the New King James translation here, carefully consider. To ponder it, to carefully examine it, to weigh it. Because life is too short to waste it on foolishness. Life is too short to just go, well, I think I'll go this way because everybody else is going that way. Or this is the way that feels good to me. There's a proverb that's repeated three times. And so anytime God repeats himself, it's a big deal. He repeats this one a number of times. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but it leads to destruction. So that's one of the things, when a path feels too right to me, I'm thinking, ooh, I better watch that one. If it feels too right, we have to be careful where our feet take us. If we find ourselves on the wrong path, we need to repent if we're going the wrong way. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, for a man's ways are before the Lord's eyes, and he considers all his paths. How many of you would think if God is considering your path, it might be a good deal for you too as well? Because God is. God is watching, so we need to consider them as well. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Because, folks, it's not what we profess. It's what we possess. It's the way of our life. It's not just the words that come out of our mouth. It's the way of our life. The way of the world, the way of the wicked, the Bible says is the way of danger and detours and disappointment and distractions and ultimately death. But it looks good. It's a broad way, Jesus says, and many people go that way. The crowd's going that way. When I was a youth pastor, we used to talk about, anybody can go with the flow because all you have to be is a dead fish go with the flow, right? It takes something to go against the flow. It takes something to stand up and say, I will not go that way. It takes something to not go because those ways look good and the ways feel right and everybody's going that way and stuff. But the Bible says that when we walk on those ways, we'll end up, if we keep on walking that way, in disaster and death. But God says when we walk on the way of wisdom, that he will protect our paths, that he will guard our paths, that he will direct our paths, that he will perfect our past. He will watch over it. Have you stopped to ponder lately where you're going? This is the question that I asked. Would I want my kids and my grandkids to follow in my footsteps? That's a good one. We need to consider the way that we're going, the direction of our life. We need to consider what's the words that are coming out of our mouth. We need to consider where we keep our eyes, the gaze, the focus of our life. We focus on the stuff of the world and trying to keep up and trying to be this and trying to be that and trying to be all that stuff. It'll end up making us miserable. Solomon pleads with his son. He begs his son, son, guard your heart. It's something that only we can do. When our boys were home, we tried our best to guard their hearts. We limited what they could watch. We limited what they could do. You know, we didn't let them have a cell phone until they were older and stuff and all that kind of stuff. And because it was so important. But now when they're out, now they have to guard their own hearts. And Solomon's saying this to his grown son. He says, son, you've got to do this. I would do it for you if I could, but I can't. It's something you've got to do. And so Solomon's telling his son, you've got to have the right heart, son, if you're going to stay on the right path. And he exhorts him to keep his eyes on the path and not get distracted. Not get distracted by the sideshows. Not to go off the path. Because when we find our foot straying and we find we've gone a different way, then we need to repent and turn back. Solomon is very, very concerned that his son gets this. He's pled with him now 3 different times very directly. Son, pay attention. Son, listen. And God has recorded this to us because we need as well to pay attention to this. It is hugely important because we will never be able to walk in the wisdom of Proverbs 10 through 31 if we don't get this one. If we don't guard our heart, if we don't have a new heart. And so we have to ask ourselves from time to time, what is my behavior saying about my heart? How diligently am I guarding my heart? What am I allowing into my eyes? What am I allowing into my ears? Are we allowing the world? Are we listening more to the world? Or are we listening more to God? I'm not saying don't read the paper and don't listen to that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is you better be listening more to God than you are to the world, because the world and its ways are passing away. And the ways of the world are the ways of the fool. And so Solomon would tell us, Jesus would tell us, when we get off the path, it's because our hearts are not right. When we see these words and these attitudes coming out of our mouth, and we see our eyes gazing on these things, and we see our feet, we end up going to these places, it's because there's something wrong with our heart. And when we see these things, it ought to be warning lights. We need to have some serious heart repair. We need to go to the Lord, because the only way that our hearts can be changed is through Jesus. Only Jesus can give us a pure heart. Matter of fact, Jesus said, only the pure in heart will see God. And the good news is, Jesus came to live the life we could not live, and he died the death that we should have died so that he could give us a new heart. He was raised from the dead as proof that he could give us a new heart and enable us to walk in the way of wisdom. And see, what we need is a heart transplant. We don't need to turn over a new leaf. We don't need to try harder. We need to go to Jesus and repent and ask him for a new heart. And he says in the word through Paul in Philippians 2 verse 13, it is God that works in us both to will and to do according to his will. The wonderful thing about when Jesus comes into our life is not only does he give us the desire to do what God wants us to do, but he also gives us the ability to do it as well. And so, once again, that's a really good test. Do I have the desire to do the will of God? Do I have a desire to go to church? Do I have a desire for the Word of God? Do I have a desire for prayer? Do I have a desire to walk in the ways of the Lord? Do I have a desire to forgive? Do I have a desire to do the things of Jesus? Or is it something that just is like labor to me? It's something that bores me out of my mind. And then, well, I may have the desire, but am I doing it? I try, but I fail and whatever, because I'm leaning on myself and my abilities versus the power of God. Because once again, we cannot live the Christian life apart from the Spirit of God. If we could, then Jesus would have never had to die. Jesus would have never sent us the Spirit. Jesus never would have told us to be filled with the Spirit. And so the question is tonight, what do our struggles reveal about our hearts? And it's a good way to examine. You know, when we go to a doctor and they hook us up to the wires and we get an EKG or whatever it is, a heart that we do, and the doctor can tell us by looking at it what's going on. He puts us on a treadmill or whatever and go in, and he can tell us we got blockage and we got everything else. Well, God's got us on a treadmill every day. It's called life. And we see our hearts through the way we behave. And if our speech begins to reflect more of the world instead of the salt of God, then that's a warning to us. If our eyes begin to linger in places and we look for places and our focus is in things that it shouldn't be on, that's a warning sign that's something wrong in the heart. and if our feet end up taking us to places that we don't need to go and in directions we shouldn't be going, that's a warning sign. Something's wrong in the heart. And so we have to come back to Jesus and confess and repent and seek his help. So guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. Let's pray together tonight. Dear Father, we live in a day of multiple distractions and all kind of stuff now that used to be in the back alleys and stuff. Now it's pumped into our living rooms. And sometimes it's unfiltered. Sometimes, Father, it's even encouraged and it's laughed at. And today we laugh at things that the previous generation would have been horrified at. So God, help us to guard our hearts, because our hearts are very fragile and it's very easy for our hearts to drift. Solomon talked about the ease with which we lose what we've learned. And so it needs to go into our heart, not just into our head, but into our heart. And so God, I pray tonight that you'd help each one of us guard our hearts, guard our eyes, what we look at, our ears, what we listen to, and our feet, where they go. Help us, Father, give us discernment. Give us honesty, and give us, Father, hope in the resurrection and in the crucifixion that Jesus can do for us and in us what we cannot do for ourselves. Father, we give this time to you now in Jesus' name. As we stand together and as we sing...